This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Your number, 877-217-5757. And you can reach us by email, talk@talklouisiana.org. Today, we're joined at the start of our show with two gentlemen from opposite sides of the political spectrum. Rob Maness, retired Air Force colonel and a man who ran, as we know, a very prominent race for the U.S. Senate 5 years ago in the race in which Bill Cassidy won in a runoff over Mary Landrieu. And Rob Maness is joined by Dane Sherman, prominent writer and professor and now Democratic activist. And before we get to the news of the day, including the start of the regular session on Monday, there is certainly tragedy going on not far from us in St. Landrieu Parish, and I know we have many listeners in that area. Three church fires at historically black churches, St. Mary Baptist Church on March 26th, Greater Union Baptist Church on April 2nd, and yesterday the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Dane Sherman, I think we can all agree, no matter what our political stripes are, that these are tragedies that should not happen anywhere, and especially in our backyard.
Yeah, it's a shame, Jim. It's a sad thing. I know it. I think in Alabama they had a similar series of fires, and it's just tragic. It's a terrible thing.
And Rob Maness, Colonel Maness, I'm sure you joined Dane in denouncing whoever is responsible for this.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with Dane. It's a tragedy, and we've got to get to the bottom of it and hold anybody accountable to the max extent of the law.
Well, hopefully we will find the people responsible soon and that there will not be another incident of this kind. And we will follow it right here on WRKF, not only in this show, but throughout the days and hopefully not weeks or months to come. 877-217-5757 is mentioned. The regular legislative session starts Monday. And this is a short session. It'll only be a couple of months in duration, but there are a lot of unresolved issues, and it is an election year. Lawmakers quite often are reluctant to do anything in an election year, and, of course, the governor is also seeking re-election. So, Rob Maness, Colonel Maness, how do you see this session evolving?
I think you're probably right. I don't think there will be anything very significant that comes out. I've pulsed the thoughts of some of the legislators in my area here in St. Tammany on some of the larger issues, like constitutional convention and closed primaries, and they're more than happy to support those types of initiatives, but they always remind me it's an election year, and I'm not sure how much appetite there will be, and that's the words they use, not me, although the activist communities I know of all persuasions will still be trying to support their efforts and try to get what they need to get passed, if they need legislation passed.
Dane Sherman, what do you see as the principal issues?
Well, obviously there's a $1,000 teacher raise. That's going to fly through because almost no state representative or senator wants to be on the wrong side of that. They're going to continue to fight unnecessarily back and forth to get at one another, to try to get at the governor. It'll be interesting to see if the Republicans never surge, meaning the two candidates, in the gubernatorial race, if it stays in the doldrums in those couple months of the session, if they will work together a little bit more rather than continue to fight each other. And that'll be an interesting thing to see, I believe, in the session.
Well, during the session, the governor is not allowed to raise money, so that puts him 2 months on the sidelines. His opponents are Eddie Rasponi and Ralph Abraham, and people who listen to the radio around the state may very well have heard spots that are airing in certain parts of our state from a group called Citizens Against Government Waste, and they're praising John Kennedy. And today, John Kennedy had an op-ed piece in The Advocate denouncing sexual harassment, even taking aim at Governor Edwards' hiring of Johnny Anderson. No mention of President Trump's history on that front, though. But is there any possibility, based on these things that are happening right now, Dane Sherman, that John Kennedy might get in the race at the last moment?
I'm sure that Colonel Maness is probably a better insight on that, but it sounds pretty far-fetched. They may be wanting him in there. And regarding the raising money, as you know, even I suspect with this latest series of ads, a lot of the money's going to be going to and the activity is going to be happening from the PACs. And so those are unaffiliated organizations, and that's probably going to be where a lot of the movement's taking place during that 2 months.
Colonel Maness, is the field set, or could there be a new entry? Could John Kennedy or even Steve Scalise get in at the last moment? We are 6 months and a week away from the election. Is it too late, or is there still time for a major new development?
Well, at this point, I think that it's possible, but it's not probable that Mr. Scalise or Mr. Kennedy will get in the race, although they could. It wouldn't be too late for either one of them, considering their name, ID, their standing records, and their ability to fund their campaigns. You know, most of the prep work in a statewide race like this is months and months and months of building up your name, the required name, ID, that you need to have once you get inside of the Labor Day holidays, and that's when the battles really start heating up. So I think, matter of fact, I think Steve Scalise or John Kennedy could wait till 4 o'clock p.m. on the last day of qualifying and still be very formidable candidates and potentially win a governor's race, even with a sitting incumbent like Governor Edwards.
Roy Fletcher, the esteemed political consultant a few weeks ago on this show, Dane Sherman said he thought there was a 75% chance of John Bel Edwards winning. I'm sure John Bel Edwards would take those odds, but considering the fact that he pretty much has the race he wants, is he home free, or is there still a possibility that he could be clipped, since he is, after all, the only Democrat standing in statewide office in our state?
I listened to Roy Fletcher in that show. I may have listened after the fact, but I think Roy is pretty much on track. And, you know, anything can happen. You know, somebody can have a stroke. I mean, anything can happen, and that can change things radically in politics. But I think he definitely – it's not like he's facing Vitter last time, I can tell you that.
Well, David Vitter was a gift that enabled John Bel Edwards to win the election. Quite probably he would have lost in a runoff against either Scott Angell or Jay Darden 4 years ago, but now he is the governor. And Rob Maness, polls show that about 50% of the people are in his corner, and those numbers are not great, but they're certainly better than the president's, and both of them believe they're going to be reelected. Do you think Governor Edwards is home free, or is there still a real prospect that he could be defeated?
I don't think he's home free. You know, those are numbers that should indicate that he's got a high potential to get reelected. Of course, I don't know if I'd go as high as Mr. Fletcher did, but he is a formidable incumbent. And I think more depends on what the Republicans do to themselves up to the primary day, and what they don't do to the governor. If they focus on themselves, John Bel Edwards will have a walk into reelection. But if they focus on the governor and his policies and what the differences are in the policies that they're going to bring, I think there's a really good chance that Ralph Abraham is going to be against him in a runoff. And then it'll be a good race if that happens, because they're very, very similar profiles as far as their experiences and those kind of things.
A listener asks about the session, and this is something that I know you're involved with, Colonel Maness. There is a bill pertaining to homeschooling. How do you square this bill? Do you like it or not?
Well, the bill is House Bill 212. It's under Representative Hubbell, and Senator Mills, I think, from the Senate is supporting it in that regard. Unfortunately, though, it's a bill that they say is an attempt to fix what happened out at T.M. Landry, where kids were getting into Ivy League schools, but they really didn't have the strength to get there, and then they were failing or having major problems once they got there. It's aimed at that, but this redefines the definitions of some of the homeschools, and I'm a homeschooler myself, and our community is going to oppose this bill. We think it needs to go quietly away without ever seeing the light of day, and even in committee, because we've got enough laws on the books from a school perspective. We don't need more laws to try to fix something that's going to affect the things that do work, and the homeschool definitions are working, especially in the favor of the parents' rights and their ability to take care of their kids' needs individually. As we know, schooling is important for that from that perspective, and homeschooling especially is a viable option that needs to stay put.
877-217-5757. We'll take a short pause and return with Professor Sherman and Colonel Manus on Talk Louisiana, and we'll get their take on what's happening nationally. We're getting closer to the 2020 election, as in next year. We're now a year and 7 months from the finish line. We'll talk about it. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. We continue our conversation with Professor Dane Sherman, noted author and now activist on the left side of the political spectrum, and Rob Manus. Colonel Manus, of course, a Republican stalwart, and he heads the Gator Pack, and he is involved in GOP endeavors to win elections all over the country. 877-217-5757. We'll go to the phone lines in just a moment, and we'll go, in fact, I tell you what, before we go to the phone lines, though, Colonel Manus, your thoughts about what's going on nationally. The President of the United States continues to dominate the news cycle. He has claimed total exoneration from the Mueller report. Do you share that observation?
Well, I read Mr. Barr's letter that he sent initially to the Congress, and I think he's going to keep his word that he's going to release as much as is legally possible for him to release of the full Mueller report to the Congress and to the public, he said. So that gives me great confidence that we're going to at least get to most of the bottom of the facts surrounding all of this. Now, Mr. Mueller's report was quoted in Barr's letter that it totally did not find any evidence of Mr. Trump, his associates, his family, anyone on his campaign had done nothing of collusion with Russia to try to influence the campaign, even though, and I think this is important, Jim, that a lot of people have missed if they haven't actually taken the time to read that letter, is that Mueller even pointed out, even though there were multiple attempts by Russian agents to entice campaign members to take their offers, no one around Trump, Trump himself or his associates or anybody on the campaign fell for the bait.
Dane Sherman, my guess is that you see it a bit differently.
Yeah, I think they've had so many indictments, probably more indictments than any president in history. They just need to, Barr needs to release the report sooner rather than later. It's going to come out, and they can have their good times now, but the report needs to come out just like the Starr report went out and other reports have gone out, and we need to be able to, 9/11 report, we need to be able to look at that and make an educated decision. We're not going to wilt as American people. It's not going to end the republic. We just need to see it.
877-217-5757 for Colonel Manus and Professor Sherman. David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hello?
Yes, David, you're on the air.
Yes. Jim, please give me a follow-up question to the Colonel Manus. Colonel, I'd like to give you the Herman Cain test.
All right. Well, let's get to the question then. What's
the
question?
Okay, well, the question is, did President Clinton ever cut taxes as president? And Herman Cain, who was just appointed to the nominated to be a federal on the Federal Reserve Board, he said President Clinton never cut taxes.
All right. Well, we know that Clinton did cut taxes on some people and raised them on others, but how is that applicable to what's going on today?
What, hello?
How is that applicable to what's going on today?
Well, it is applicable because of the current situation in the United States with the horrible Trump tax cuts. But, well, anyway, look, Jim, since you're not going to give me a chance to talk about it, I just want to say that Herman Cain, who was just nominated to the Federal Reserve Board, never had a clue that President Clinton cut the capital gains tax cut.
Herman, I think we just lost Colonel Maness, so we need to get him back. But, David, Herman Cain, of course, is a guy who got run out of the race many years ago for sexual harassment. Today, the junior U.S. Senator from Louisiana wrote an op-ed piece denouncing sexual harassment. Maybe he should talk about Herman Cain. All right, Dane Sherman, your thoughts about what's going on with some of these appointees of President Trump. More than a few have been criticized, including this prospective, Colonel Maness, would you respond?
I'm sorry, sir, I missed your question. Could you repeat it?
David, go ahead, repeat your question.
My question? Colonel Maness, did President Clinton ever cut taxes?
All right.
Well, yes, he did.
What about Herman Cain, perhaps being on the Federal Reserve? Is that a good appointee?
I don't have a problem with Mr. Cain being on the Federal Reserve. I heard David say that he was appointed. Don't know whether he was or not, because I haven't seen
him this
morning yet, or nominated. So congratulations to Mr. Cain. I think you'll do a fine job. It's good to have businessmen and women in those types of roles instead of political or bureaucratic government people.
Dane Sherman, I'll tell you what, we're getting a funny sound when I go to that phone line, so let's see what's going on here. 877-217-5757 is your number, and Dane Sherman says he's trying to get through to us, and something has happened, so let's see what's going on. And Colonel Maness, of course, is at the ready, as he always is, and presenting his viewpoint from the Republican side of the ledger. And if you can tell me who was on the next line, I can go to the phone lines. Who is on line one? Do you know? Matt Doyle producing, and your number again is 877-217-5757, and the email is talk@talklouisiana.org. And let's see what was going on. Colonel Maness, do you think that the president can withstand all the noise that's in the background? Does he have a legitimate shot at winning re-election next year?
Well, I think he does. His popularity amongst Republicans is still in the high 80s, low 90s, depending on which poll you look at. That's pretty typical. It is a lot of noise, though, and we both know how these things can change with the wind, so to speak, in election years and campaign years, and we're now in it. So, he's going to have to fight as hard as he can, while at the same time, which he's very capable of, he continues to almost force the media cycles to bend to his will sometimes. I think the challenge for the people that are concerned about him, and I'm one of them, is that sometimes he tends to step on his own good news on, and that doesn't bode well when you're trying to get a positive message out. And there's a lot of positive with the administration from our perspective.
877-217-5757. I think we have things corrected now, and we go to Dane Sherman.
As far as you may hang up.
All right, we don't have Dane Sherman. I'm sorry. So let's see what's going on. Obviously, some problems getting through on the phone lines from here to lovely Ponchatoula, where Dane Sherman holds court. But Rob Maness is with us, and he is a gentleman who, as we know, speaks from the right side of the political spectrum. Do you share most of the political views of the president? Is that fair to say, Colonel Maness?
I think it'd be more fair to say that the policies that the president has put in place, many of them I do support. There have been some things that I disagree with, and I don't mind talking about that. I disagreed with the president's response without permission to Congress of attacking the country of Syria. Just like I disagreed when President Obama was thinking about doing it after Syria was accused of attacking its own people with chemical weapons. I just think that Congress should be exercising its power to keep the executive branch in check. And it's, that power has been abdicated for many, many years now. So I mostly approve of his policies. I don't think that he should have outlawed the bump stocks by executive order. It should have gone through the legislative process, and I think that'll probably be challenged in court. But the president did that, and those are typical type overreaching big government type policies that I don't believe in. And I think a lot of Americans agree with me.
Now, yesterday, U.S. House took up a bill that would take away gun rights for those convicted of domestic abuse, and the NRA is against this. Your thoughts about whether those who are convicted of domestic abuse should have the right to carry a weapon in this country? Do you think that's a good idea?
Well, you know, in the military, we already have the Lautenberg Amendment, and in the military, that does happen. Even if you're accused, you're no longer allowed to even carry a firearm.
All right, hold tight. We'll spend a bit more time with Colonel Maness and Professor Sherman. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. In a few moments, we'll hear from retired U.S. Navy Admiral John Kirby, who will be appearing at the Manship School of Mass Communication come Monday. We're continuing our conversation for a few more minutes with Dane Sherman and Rob Maness. And Dane, I know we had some trouble, and we apologize for our phone difficulties, but I wanted to get your take on the presidential re-election chances and your view of Donald Trump a year and 7 months away from the 2020 election. How do you see it?
I'm not incredibly invigorated by what I'm seeing. I'm certainly not anywhere near what Roy said about the Governor Edwards about Trump being elected at 75%, but I'm not seeing... I'm not a party hack. I'm just a guy talking on his own time and not on work hours, by the way. The Democrats need to get their stuff together. And I don't see Biden needs to watch his touchy-feely stuff. That's not been good for him. I don't know if it's going to sink his chances. Up to this point, I thought he was the best bet against President Trump. So, things have got to coalesce on the Democratic side, and they have not.
Dan downtown. Hi, Dan. You're on the air with Colonel Maness and Professor Sherman. Dan?
Yeah, so Colonel Maness, do you agree with Nancy Pelosi that John McCain is a war hero, or with Trump that he is not?
All right. What about the service of John McCain that's been disparaged by the president? Do you find that concerning as a veteran of note yourself?
Yeah, I find it concerning. It's one of those things that there's a divide in this country about knowledge of what military professionals do and what people think they do. You know, the president's comment about POWs and people getting shot down hit really close to home for me and my colleagues. I was a combat aviator in the U.S. Air Force for 25 plus years in my flying career, and it's a very concerning when a presidential candidate says what he said, because we spend a lot of time and resources of the United States to train our people how to, if they do get shot down and get behind enemy lines or in a POW camp, try to give them the tools, and the taxpayers fund it, to come home with honor.
And Dane Sherman, we'll give you the last word on this. The president, as we know, got out of service during the Vietnam War with bone spurs that have never been validated, and yet he's criticizing a man who spent more than 5 years in a POW camp. It would seem that in most cases that would be enough to disqualify anybody from the highest office in the land or any other office in this country, but the president has rolled merrily along since he first made those statements and continues to repeat them.
It's something you scratch your head about, Jim. I think it's sad. I agree with the colonel. Those statements were neither fair nor were they worthy of the office. And I definitely have more respect for McCain and his service than President Trump and Dodge in the draft.
Well, we will endeavor to have both of you fine gentlemen back. And thanks for a good discussion today, Colonel Maness and Professor Sherman. Thank you so much.
Thank you.